Hi all, I'm Madonna from New Leaf Natural Therapies and this is The Natural Alternative. Welcome. I thought that I would share Maria Z's article from June this year where she found a 200-year document, contract, if you will, that basically allows a private company in America to seed planet Earth with geoengineering and chemtrail toxins. So I'm just going to play it. I was going to make notes and share my own thing, but Maria does such a damn good job that I thought I'd just share it in whole. Hope that's okay, Maria. Love your work. And just for those who haven't subscribed to her, you've got to have a look. She has such a huge body of work. If it's out there in a conspiracy analysis world, she's done it. Okay, so here's Maria.
Good evening, everyone. This is perhaps the most dangerous report that Z Media has released. The reason why it's so dangerous is because geoengineering has historically been very difficult to prove. We've all seen pictures and footage of chemtrails and observed them with our own eyes, which we are then gaslit to believe are condensation trails despite the fact that millions of people worldwide are reporting the weather is changing almost immediately after these trails have been spotted in the skies. If your eyes are open, you know the skies are no longer normal, and it has nothing to do with so-called climate change. If you're familiar with our work, you'd know we've interviewed geoengineering expert Dane Wigington on multiple occasions about this topic. On his website, geoengineeringwatch.org, you'll find a huge library of documentation, research, and patents for these weather warfare operations, as well as the documentaries The Dimming and Graphene Skies, and many others, which we highly recommend. The most difficult part about reporting on this subject is proving it exists. Not because of the lack of information out there, because if you do a quick Google search on the words geoengineering or solar radiation management, which, by the way, is effectively blocking out the sun, as Bill Gates has suggested that we do, you will find a myriad of mainstream media articles talking about how great geoengineering is and how we need to do it in order to save the climate. The difficult part has always been finding out who's doing it, who is responsible for approving it, what exactly are they spraying, and finding the contracts for these operations. Well, Z Media has done just that, at least in part. We've obtained a contract between the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, known as NOAA in short, and the company makes sunsets for the global project of cooling Earth in order to reduce the global average temperature. The target area in the contract is all of Earth and covers over 199 million square miles, approximately 510 million square kilometres. You can consider this a preliminary report into our ongoing investigation into this subject. Today, we will explore this contract, along with multiple weather modification projects already completed in the United States and on public record, why they're on public record, and many other countries' involvement with the NOAA. We were initially alerted to this contract by the Instagram account Slovakia Geoengineering, who does a fantastic job at gathering evidence from all over the world on geoengineering. We followed the trail and found the evidence was, in fact, irrefutable. This is occurring. The initial contract we will cover is found on the NOAA Library, which is an official US government website. In a moment, we'll go through where everyone can locate these documents. On this page, it states, the project or activity designation, if any, is cooling Earth. The purpose of the project or activity is to reduce average global temperature. The sponsor is Make Sunsets Incorporated / Luke Eisman. He's the founder, and those are his details. The target area is all of Earth. The location is all of Earth, and the size of the area is over 196 million square miles. The date of the first actual weather modification here on the right-hand side activity is to be undertaken is the 12th of February 2023. The expected termination date of weather modification activities is the 23rd of March 2223. That is over 200 years after commencement of the project. In section 6, it says description of weather modification apparatus, modification agents, and their dispersal rates, the techniques employed, etc., says, We are deploying sulfur dioxide, calcium carbonate, and or other proprietary compounds into the stratosphere to offset global warming. Our deployments will occur via balloons and or other aircraft. Deployment rates will vary, peaking at no more than 100 megatons in total per year, and of course the initial flights will contain much less than that. In Section 7 under logbooks, where it asks for the details of the responsible individual from whom logbooks or other records may be obtained, Luke Eisman again is listed again as the founder. And in Section 8 under safety and environment, there are three questions. Has an environmental impact statement, federal or state, been filed? If yes, please furnish a copy as applicable. The box there is ticked no. Have provisions been made to acquire the latest forecasts, advisories, warnings, etc. of the National Weather Service, Forest Service, or others when issued prior to and during operations? The box again is ticked no. The final question, have any safety procedures, operational constraints, provisions for suspension of operations, monitoring methods, etc., and any environmental guidelines related to the possible effects of the operations been included in the operational plans? Again, the box is ticked no. You can see at the bottom the certification signed off again by Luke Eisman, and this document was signed on the 31st of March 2023. So this is a contract that is due to go for over 200 years between a private company and a part of the US government, the NOAA, clearly stating that no environmental checks have happened. No checks and balances have happened to make sure that this 100 megatons per year of highly toxic, cancer-inducing, not to mention all the other sicknesses that are induced as a result of these highly toxic chemicals being sprayed into the air to cool the earth. We're not doing any of those checks and balances. Have we looked at the environmental impacts on this? No. Have we filed an environmental impact statement? No, we have not. Have provisions been made to acquire the latest forecasts, advisories, warnings, or others when issued prior to and during operations? So no, we're not considering any weather forecasts. We're not considering any warnings. No, we're not doing any checks. We're not caring about safety in the slightest. We're just going to spray the heck out of the earth. Have any safety procedures and any environmental guidelines been included in these operational plans? No, they haven't, but we're going to go ahead and give him the contract anyway and put it on public record so that people know, despite the fact that we are doing this to all the earth, nothing has been filed to assure people that this is safe. But this isn't the only project that doesn't have any safety measures, mind you. This is 100 megatons released into the atmosphere by one private organization. And this is not the only contract that we found. We'll go through more of them in this report. When you compile the potentially thousands of private and public companies doing this, how many billions of tons are being released into the atmosphere, poisoning every single person in a way that we cannot control and cannot be avoided? We simply cannot stop breathing air. Now, for those who'd like to verify this for themselves or think that we've stumbled onto some sort of a fake contract, this is the NOAA Central Library. It is an official US government website. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. If you'd like to go and look at this yourself, you can go to their collections, click Weather and Climate, and then scroll down the page to where it says Weather Modification Project Reports. And it says on here, publication history and scope. In the late 1940s and 50s, many deemed the deliberate or the inadvertent alteration of atmospheric conditions by human activity, also known as weather modification, as a promising science of the future. Currently, the most common form of weather modification is cloud seeding, which increases rain or snow, usually for the purpose of increasing the local water supply. Weather modification can also have the goal of preventing damaging weather such as hail or hurricanes from occurring. As part of Public Law 92-205-1972, all non-federal weather modification activities must be reported to the U.S. Secretary of Commerce via the NOAA Weather Program Office. Does that mean that federal weather modification activities do not have to be reported? That's another can of worms. Below is a list of these reports and is updated on a quarterly basis. And it says here, as required by that law, NOAA submitted a report to Congress in 1979 available via the NOAA library. If you scroll through this library and go to the very last page, which, by the way, there are 93 of them, you will find the document called WMA Initial. Project date range is the 12th of the 2nd, 2023, through to the 23rd of March, 2223, the activity being air temperature reduction. If you click that document, you will find none other than the document that we just took you through. Now, before we get into all of the other contracts and weather modification operations that have taken place as per that website, we want to show you the Make Sunsets website. It says one reflective cloud at a time. If you scroll down the page, they talk about the reality of climate change being here, but our future remains unwritten. We can still make a difference. They've got a Launch With Us page, which we will talk about in a moment. Of course, they've featured the New York Times, The Guardian, The Washington Post, CNBC, CNN on there. And if you scroll down, it talks about stratospheric aerosol injection, an effective solution to buy time for other efforts to take hold. This is how they're justifying this absolute madness and poisoning of humanity. We deploy our reflective clouds about 12.4 miles, 20 kilometers from the Earth's surface using balloons. Well, they talk about balloons, but in their contract with the NOAA, they say other aircraft as well. The reflective clouds stay up for about a year, reflecting some of the sun's rays, just like the natural clouds below. Think of it as applying sunscreen spray to protect your skin from the sun. Just 1 gram of our clouds offsets the warming effect of 1 ton of CO2 for a year. By the way, we need CO2 to survive. It's the gas of life. All life thrives. With a presence of CO2, reducing it would mean killing life on Earth. They claim that one cooling credit, which you can buy from them, offsets 1 ton of CO2 warming for a year. Cooling credits. By purchasing a cooling credit, your funds will be used to release at least 1 gram of our clouds into the stratosphere on your behalf, offsetting the warming effect of 1 ton of carbon dioxide for 1 year. We will share the fulfillment of your cooling credit after deployment on your account page. This is essentially crowdfunding geoengineering and potentially crowdfunding a climate disaster. We'll explain how. On their website, under potential risks of stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, it says uncertain effectiveness. The full impact of SAI on global temperatures and climate remains uncertain, and it could have unintended consequences on regional climate patterns. Their counterpoint to that is that we're already headed towards an increase in catastrophic climate disasters as the world allegedly heats up, and we need to intervene before it's too late. So we're already headed towards a disaster based on modeling that's a lie. Let's make it worse with unintended or unknown consequences, or even uncertain effectiveness. Ozone depletion. Injecting aerosols into the stratosphere could potentially harm the ozone layer, which protects life on Earth from harmful ultraviolet radiation. Their counterpoint to that is Dr. David W. Fahey, director of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Chemical Sciences Laboratory, which revealed that studies show sulfur aerosols from stratospheric aerosol injection could impact the ozone layer, but not catastrophically. The 1991 Mount Pinatubo volcanic eruption demonstrated the ozone layer's resilience after temporarily cooling the planet by 0.5 degrees. And despite these uncertainties, these findings suggest that geoengineering methods like SAI could be explored without causing irreversible damage to the ozone layer. So based on one volcano that erupted in 1991, a naturally occurring event, we're going to manufacture this, not even being certain that it's going to produce the same results. We're not sure of its effectiveness. We're not sure that it's irreversible damage. But these findings suggest that it could be explored. So we're going to just go ahead and do it for the next 200 years. They have the audacity audacity to list the moral hazard of poisoning the earth being that the implementation of SAI could potentially weaken the urgency to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So the moral hazard here, as presented by them, is not the fact that they're poisoning the world. It is because it's weakening the urgency to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. This is absolute gaslighting and the biggest display of a play on words. These people are suggesting that we pay our way out of climate change while simultaneously paying to be poisoned. And the problem isn't that we're being poisoned with no safety reports being conducted, no certainty that the poisoning is actually going to help the earth in any way, and blaming the fact that the bad people keep relying on fossil fuels, which is a made-up term, by the way, to insinuate a limited or outdated resource, for the need to poison humanity and ruin our planet, our food supply, and the precious air we and all life utilizes and breathes, which is essential to God's creation in the process. In January of this year, Mexico actually banned all attempts to block the sun. This is an article that was published on Popular Mechanics. It says Mexico has banned solar geoengineering experiments after a startup sent sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere. You click on that startup and it takes you to this article, which is TheVerge.com. Mexico bans solar engineering experiments after startup's field tests. The startup tried to launch sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere from Baja, California, and now the government of Mexico is cracking down. It goes on in this article to say that Make Sunsets is the company that was responsible to this, conducting field tests without prior notice or consent from the Mexican government. How many other places have they done this in? Now, we note that on their website, it doesn't talk about the use of aircrafts. It's mainly discussing balloons, but in their contract with the NOAA, it does state balloons and or other aircraft. So it's possible that they could be using private contractors. We haven't been able to locate those specific contracts, but we have located other contracts between private companies and public companies in the United States that we'll bring up in a moment. It's important to note as well, perhaps my personal observations, when I've noticed chemtrails in the sky and I've looked at flight radar, I have seen that this is predominantly energy companies in Australia conducting weather modification operations, or what appears to be such. Back to the NOAA Central Library, I've sorted by date here and I'm on one of the last pages. You can go through all 93 pages, but we wanted to show you some of the contracts that, or some of the operations that have taken place. You can see here American River Basin, Central Colorado Mountain River Basins Program. You can see the project date range, and we'll go through some of what increasing snowpack augmentation means, increasing precipitation, winter snowpack, precipitation augmentation. The list really does go on. This is an example from Utah. Approximately 15 ground-based cloud nuclei generators will be used. Each generator emits 8 grams per hour of silver iodide when active, except for a remotely operated site, which will emit about 24 grams per hour of silver iodide. Operational decisions will be made from the offices in Sandy, Utah. As you can see here, the dates for these were between the 15th of November 22 until the 15th of April 2023. And the affiliation here is North American Weather Consultants. Again, as we saw with the last one, has an environmental impact statement, federal or state, been filed? No. No environmental impact statements whatsoever. This one was conducted between the 1st of November 2022, ending the expected termination date being the 15th of April 2023. It was the San Juan Mountains program, which they call winter snowpack and precipitation augmentation. The location was the SE Utah Mountains and Northern NM Mountains. The size of the area are 1,000 square miles. Apparatus. There are a total of 33 ground-based cloud nuclei generators used for seeding the San Juan Mountain program. They talk about the regions. The modification materials here, an acetone solution of 4% silver iodide and 1.25% sodium iodide. We won't go through all of the details in here, but again, I really want people to see safety and environment. Has an environmental impact statement, federal or state, been filed? No. This affiliation here is the Western Weather Consultants. This one is for the state of Wyoming, the affiliation being the State of Wyoming and Weather Modification LLC. One twin-engine turboprop aircraft will be used to seed supercooled orographic clouds with glaciogenic pyrotechnics. Seeding will be guided by a qualified meteorologist aided by weather observations and a four-dimensional high-resolution prognostic numerical model configured for these specific target areas. It goes on to talk about where this will occur. And again, we see the affiliation Weather Modification LLC. And if you scroll down, you actually see the region that they've done it in. This one is the Panhandle Groundwater Conservation District. Purpose is rain enhancement in the North Texas Panhandle. It went from first of April 2022 until the 30th of September 2022. Again, one of many, many examples. And it says they utilized a single and twin engine aircraft equipped with flare racks to enhance rainfall in 7 1/4 counties in the North Texas Panhandle. Again, has an environmental impact statement, federal or state, been filed? No, what for? We don't need to do that. Here's another from the South Texas Weather Modification Association. The purpose being rain enhancement. And I won't go through all of the details, but you can see this happened in Pleasanton, South Texas, between April 22 until October 2022. Another report from last year. By the way, you can see that these are final reports that have been reported. They tell you how many modification days occurred in June, July, August, September of 2022, and the total number of modification days, how much of increasing precipitation they did, how much hail they caused, hours of apparatus operation by type. All of these were airborne. Sometimes it says ground. It tells you that they put silver iodide into the atmosphere, more carbon dioxide as well. And it also tells you that this was the ND Atmospheric Resource Board. And it has the names and details of the people that are responsible. This is another one from the North Dakota Atmospheric Resource Board. This is from 2021, but the reason I'm showing this one, I mean, they're all relevant. Again, no environmental impact statement forms been filled out, and they show you the seeding aircraft, where it's gone. You can see the operations area, the target area, and where the seeding aircraft has gone, along with the radar site. This is maps that they've made publicly available. This one's important because of who was doing it. I won't go through all the details, but you can see here hours of apparatus operation by type, how many hours were conducted per month of airborne activities. The importance was that it was Sacramento Municipal Utility District. This is a public electricity company. This one is a snowpack augmentation. The project or activity designation, if any, was the Kings River Basin Cloud Seeding Program. The affiliation here is the Kings River Water Conservation District, who claims that they are working to preserve this valuable local research for present and future use and balances resource management with stewardship for the Kings River ecosystem. The reason that we're showing you this interim report is because the affiliation responsible here is Clark County, Idaho. That can be compared to a council. This one has the affiliation listed as the Northern California Power Agency. And if you scroll down, you'll find all of those strange flight patterns that many of us are seeing on flight radar and other places like it. This one lists the affiliation as the Pacific Gas and Electric Company, who provides natural gas and electricity to 5.2 million households in the northern two-thirds of California. You can see that between this date range, they conducted ground operations to increase precipitation. Here's the Santa Barbara County Water Agency, who openly admit to doing cloud seeding on their website, the operations that they conducted between this time frame across various sites in Southern California. There are dozens upon dozens of reports on this website. Obviously, we've only been able to locate the operations being conducted in the United States in this particular library, as it is legislated that they must be submitted. However, people may be wondering why they're on the internet at all, available for public viewing, and we'll explain that in just a moment. Now, after this report, they may just disappear, and if they do, you'll know why. But at least if they do, we've shown you some of the operations that are occurring and some of who is responsible. This is important because we suspect that various organizations, just like the ones in the United States, may be conducting weather modification operations through private companies in other countries, including potentially through their own councils, energy companies, and so on. We encourage everyone watching this to do their own exploration of the NOAA library and see who you need to contact in your state to put an end to this immediately. Now, this investigation obviously needs to extend to all countries, and we will discuss Australia in a moment. But first, we want to go through another section that we found on the NOAA Central Library. People can access this particular section by typing the following into their browser. If you type in https://library.oarcloud.noaa.gov, you'll be able to access their entire library if you go to the NOAA documents. We've gone into this section, which is the NOAA International Agreements. Here they have agreements that they've made with many, many different countries over the years, including Korea, Norway, Taiwan, Australia, France, more from Australia on numerous occasions, the European Commission, again, France, India, Italy, Japan, Korea, again, Norway, Russia, and many, many others. Many of these agreements don't specify anything about weather modification, but rather use words like research and collaboration. They reference climate change and the Paris Agreement often. And there are other reports within this library that reference mitigating climate change and working with other countries and organizations to do so. The University of Queensland in Australia is one that comes up often. Now, this is where it gets even more interesting. One of the reasons why the NOAA has published all of these documents on the internet may be this document right here. The NOAA OMIC Strategic Application of Transformational Tools Strategic Plan 2021 to 2025. So, in their introduction, when defining OMICs, they say that OMICs describes a suite of cutting-edge tools used to analyze DNA, RNA, proteins, or metabolites. Many omics approaches are faster, less invasive, and more comprehensive than traditional methods. Advances in omics have revolutionized biological study, benefiting many fields, including public health, medicine, agriculture, and conservation. For NOAA, techniques such as high-throughput DNA sequencing and subsequent bioinformatics analyses can be harnessed to benefit a myriad of national priorities, including fisheries management, aquaculture development, food and water safety, species and habitat conservation, seafood consumer protection, biodiversity monitoring, and natural products discovery. Well, they go on to say that the NOAA's OMICS vision aims to integrate modern OMICS technologies across the agency, transforming its approach to biological investigation and accelerating sustainable management of ecosystem resources for the benefit of people, communities, and economies. The intent is to implement the OMIC strategy in conjunction with the strategies for uncrewed systems, artificial intelligence, data, cloud computing, and citizen science to accelerate the advancement of these emerging areas in a coordinated fashion across the agency. So, in their goals and objectives, they state that they want to procure the analytical and computational infrastructure needed to generate, analyze, and manage massive omics data sets, and increasingly leverage the commercial cloud for computation and data storage. They also say they want to expand the databases that identify genetic sequences and develop bioinformatics tools, impacts of large-scale environmental change, biodiversity monitoring. They also say that they want to leverage computational approaches such as machine learning and artificial intelligence to help interpret genetic variation and recognize relationships within environmental data. It's going to help them, detect and monitor harmful algal blooms, toxins, pathogens, and invasive species to protect health and coastal economies. In September of 2022, we reported on Australia's pandemic preparedness plan. You can find that crucial report on zmedia.com. Search the word pandemic on the interviews page. In that report, we revealed that Australia had identified the next potential pandemics that the world was going to face, and that the potential of pandemics was essentially a moving target with endless possibilities because of what they call human encroachment on natural habitats. We predicted in this report that this would later be used as an excuse to stop people from going into nature because of their impact on the climate. This has already been initiated since that report in the state of Victoria, with Premier Dan Andrews already proposing that in certain areas you can only walk within designated and government-approved walking paths. No more off the beaten track, heavy fines will occur, and of course, eventually, damage your social credit score. That seems to fit in well with the government-identified districts, as they call them, of smart cities, where you are not allowed to leave your district, especially if you've exceeded your carbon allowance, or whatever term they'll use eventually. So what is very plausible, in fact highly possible, is that what the NOAA may be doing is uploading all of their documents into this library for AI, to feed it. So this AI that is being programmed by the very people who want complete control over the world and therefore would be fully convinced that human beings are the cause of climate change and will eventually resume control over human activity, especially if CBDCs and digital IDs, essentially a social credit system, are successfully implemented. Through libraries like this, along with AI's clear bias favoring globalist agendas, AI may advocate for more geoengineering. AI will agree that this type of interference in our climate is needed, and by that time, humans won't have a say anymore. Finally, we want to discuss what we've found in Australia so far. This article is called Enhancing the Weather: Governance of Weather Modification Activities in Australia. It was published in January of 2021, and the author is Manon Simon from the University of Tasmania, Karen Brandt, Jan McDonald, Jeff McGee. It says, weather modification by cloud seeding refers to technologies intended to manipulate the weather at a local scale. It does say that over the last 70 years, Australia has played a leading role in cloud seeding research and development. It makes reference to the frameworks to promote opportunities and manage risks from cloud seeding. We've previously reported on the weather modification legislation that we have in this country. It's out of the state of Victoria. It does cover other states. So it says that if you conduct weather modification operations in other states, there needs to be specific reports submitted, so on and so forth. We've not been able to locate those reports. We think that it's possible that they look similar to the ones from the United States that we've just shown you. Now, this article is hundreds of pages long, but we wanted to draw your attention to a specific point here. On page 712 of this report, it says, to date, cloud seeding has been considered a public service. Operational cloud seeding programs have traditionally remained under state government's control. Never was a private operator granted the authority to carry out operations. However, in recent years, the private sector has been increasingly involved in cloud seeding. It references a report from 2004 here, but then it says, although Australia continues to engage in cloud seeding research and development as a public service, it increasingly recognises the competence and experience of cloud seeding companies in project design. In the United States, the private sector has been heavily involved in the development of weather modification, and private cloud seeding operators offer their services worldwide, including to Australia. For instance, a recent experiment in Queensland was a public/private initiative involving the American-based company Weather Modification Inc. Now, the article does reference some of the known cloud seeding operations that have occurred, for example, Snowy Hydro or the one in Tasmania. I don't know what that recent operation in Queensland reference there is, and this article again is from 2021, but I wanted to quickly draw your attention to the following page, 713, which talks about the environmental impact assessment and management of uncertainty. They talk about CSIRO often not being involved, even though they refuse to take part in the operational programs. However, you know, up until the 70s, they acted as a professional licensing agency by testing and certifying the cloud seeding competencies of government officers. this is, again, remember, following the fact that they're talking about the trend of private companies conducting cloud seeding being on the rise. But they do quote this one reference here, 146 Davis N1317, and it says, according to Davis, such pooling of experience, for example, or agencies like the CSIRO and resources is one of the reasons why Australia has been one of the leaders in weather modification work in the world. Only having a few small projects that we know about, for example, Snowy Hydro and the one in Tasmania. It seems strange to give us the title of one of the leaders of weather modification in the world from just two projects. We found that to be quite odd. Now, we will quickly take you through the weathermodification.com website. This is the one that was listed in that University of Tasmania article. Water resources are increasingly taxed and exploding demand, and so on and so forth. So, weather modification, commonly known as cloud seeding, is the application of scientific technology that can enhance a cloud's ability to produce precipitation. They do this through increasing precipitation, mitigating hail damage, and dispersing fog. They do aerial and ground-based cloud seeding. They also talk about their aerial cloud seeding here, burn in-place flare racks, ejectable flare racks. They have photos of all of the available cloud seeding equipment that they manufacture. They also complete FAA-approved installations of seeding equipment, emphasizing the functionality, safety, reliability, and ease of use. So again, this is a company that article references did some activity in Queensland, or the activity was done in Queensland. They've worked with this organization before. When you go to learning more about their aircraft, it says a fleet built for success. It talks about how they've been modifying and operating aircraft for cloud seeding and atmospheric research operations since 1961. They maintain themselves and operate a fleet of more than 35 twin-engine aircraft in various configurations that meet the need of every client, but they can also adapt their equipment to virtually any type of aircraft for specific customer needs. These are the aircraft that they have at this time: the Beechcraft, King Air, the Hawker, the Bombardier, the Piper, and the Cessna. They also say that if you operate your own aviation fleet, they can provide custom modified aircraft to match your specific mission requirements, or they can modify your existing aircraft to perform the operations required. Now, while this evidence is not as damning for Australia as the evidence we've gathered for the United States, we dare say there is reason to believe that private aircraft, potentially contracted from other countries, are being utilized to conduct weather modification operations in Australia. We note that previous weather modification operations were conducted by a company called WeatherTech. You can see their worldwide success boasted about on their website. If you scroll down to Australia, you can see that their first project, Australia One, Brisbane 2007, Australian Rain Corporation, a subsidiary, enhanced rainfalls near Brisbane for the Australian government. The ionisation technology enhanced the drought-breaking events after 3 years of severe droughts. They also boast about a second project in Australia, which was the Bundaberg region in 2008. And let's not forget Australia's long-standing history with the NOAA. Specifically, the University of Queensland, and documents and agreements dating back many, many years. And much of this, again, has been cloaked under research and collaboration, but as we see, the NOAA has regular documents submitted to them about weather modification operations in the United States, about the poisons that are being released into the atmosphere, and they haven't stopped it. No, they're going and signing contracts for all the Earth. What else are they and organizations affiliated with them involved in? As we stated at the outset of this report, it is an ongoing investigation by Z Media. We, like many around the world, withstood a medical experiment they wanted to inject into our arms. We are withstanding genetic modification of our bodies and our food supply as best as we can, but we simply cannot stop breathing. The skies are getting worse every day. Is Make Sunsets, with their global contract, responsible for this in our country?
So what a huge overview of shenanigans going on at the planet without our consent. Please, everyone has to wake up. Everyone has to wake up and realize that this is an ongoing concern and it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. Okay, take care, everyone. Have a great day. Love you. Bye.